The Asian Classics Institute presents The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, recorded live in New York City in March of 1998.
This is the beginning of Class 3.
Sashi Bhagi Jushin Eta Jam Rira Vinci Nyende Yampadi Sange Shindu Mite Uwagi Jogu Nanda Shimba Sangye Chodam Sangye Chodamma Chanchu Badu Dagni Kyasuchi Dagi Chunyen Bipe Sunangi Drora Penche Sangye Chupasho Sangye Chodam Sangye Chodamma Chanchu Badu Dami Kyasuchi Dagi Chumyen Dipe Sunangi Drola Penche Sangye Jupasho Sangye Chodam Sangye Chodamma Chanchu Badu Dami Suchi Dahi Chunyen Kipe Sunamki Yola Penche Sange Juvasho.
That's pretty much the definition of Buddha, okay? To be able to sit there in the pew, whether you're known to other people or not, because we all know Kansaki, Kansaki, Tsuso, Michate, Nebaketa, right? And be able to judge, be present on every planet in the universe without thinking, without any conscious thought. I mean, it's automatic. Hundu, which is a common Tibetan name, means automatic. That is the goal of these classes, okay? The goal is that you reach a place where you can sit there and be a perfect match with every living creature in the world and help them exactly what they need all the time without any premeditation. And that's the nature of a Buddha, okay? To get there, you know, you have to become a Buddha. It's the same thing, really. To get there, you have to basically remove mental afflictions forever. Otherwise known as Nirvana. Definition of Nirvana, really. But it's not the whole definition of Nirvana, because the other part is to be able to remove your mental afflictions permanently because you saw emptiness directly. So we'll put seeing emptiness directly before that. What comes in the few hours before you see emptiness directly? I'll do Rinpoche thing. Chuchok, okay? Chuchok is called the supreme object, okay? Meaning the final hours before you reach the direct perception of emptiness. The supreme object, during that stage, you understand perfectly what it is to be dependent origination, okay? So you can say Chuchok equals understanding independent origination, or you could say a lower reality. And to reach Chö-chok, you must study emptiness. There's a long learning curve where you're studying emptiness, and the most important thing to study is mental images. Because if you understand mental images well, you will see the meaning, you will see how lower reality works. If you understand how lower reality works, you'll perceive higher reality directly, very shortly after that, within the next day, within the next 24 hours. After you see higher reality, you're eligible directly, right? You're eligible to remove your mental afflictions and reach nirvana. After you see nirvana, after you reach nirvana, you can reach Buddhahood, okay? No more than seven lifetimes, typically seven lifetimes after you see emptiness directly, okay? So studying mental images is in a direct lineage to getting to Buddhahood, okay? You must study mental images. And we're going to go through them tonight. It is probably the whole meat of the Pramana Vartika. They're not just studying Buddhist logic for fun. Okay, and they're not just doing it because it's something scholastically interesting. The whole Pramana Vartika, Dharmakirti's whole shtick, is to get you to understand why you see something, why you perceive something, okay? The different ways that you perceive things. That's his whole reason. Logic is one way to see something, and then direct perception is another way to see something, and he covers both of them. But the guts, the real essence of his book is, how do we create a mental image, and how do we see things with a mental image, okay? And this, that's the, if you debate Dharmakirti, Master Dharmakirti's book, you end up sooner or later debating what is the nature of perception, how do you see things, which is to say, what is dependent origination, you see what I mean? Once you understand that, it's only like a few hours to seeing emptiness directly, okay? So it's very, very important. What we're going to go over tonight is very, very important. First thing, very important. Second thing, very difficult in that this is one of the subjects where you need some kind of energy or power to get it. Okay? It's called kawa. Say kawa. Kawa. Kawa means you've collected some kind of good karma, some kind of positive energy, and that gives you the ability to see what I'm going to talk about tonight. If you don't have kawa, and you look at the reading that you're going to get tonight, your head will explode, okay? You'll say, I don't get what the hell. I mean, you'll open up anywhere and you'll say, I don't understand what the hell they're talking about. You know what I mean? It's very difficult. And it's difficult not intellectually, but spiritually. You see what I mean? If you have enough good karma and you open this thing, you could be blown away. You could see emptiness within a week or two, okay? If you had enough kawa. When you read this reading that you'll get tonight, it would just blow you away. You would just totally change your whole life, okay? If you didn't have kawa, let's say you had half kawa, then you'd say, this could be useful for my future. I got to work on this, you know, I got to really concentrate on this. If you didn't have any kawa at all or not much, you'd say, this is some logic, BS, totally unnecessary, they're just playing with words, it's all sophistry, it's all just semantics. I don't see any point in this. And then my class will go down to half as many people next class. And I kind of was afraid to teach these subjects because I didn't want that to happen. I don't know how many people have kawa. What I'm saying is, be patient with this subject. It could save your life, okay? But it's going to take some time. And this isn't something you can do the homework at 6:45 next week, okay? This is going to take devoted effort and thought to get to the real meaning of this. You can get to it on a very superficial level, You know, I can teach it to you tonight. You can go home thinking, oh, I understand that. What's next week, you know? But there's an extremely profound, deep level here. I'm going to phrase the class in such a way that I'm forcing you to deal with that level. You know, I had a choice when I translated it. There's two ways to translate it. And I was sitting there and I said, if I translate it the easy way, everybody will get it. And then they'll go home and think they got it, you know. If I translate it the deeper way, they'll all get confused. And maybe they won't come back. But at least they heard it, you know. So I chose that, all right. It's deep. And you have to have a lot of good karma to see it. Okay, so if you don't see it or if it's not clear to you, don't worry about it. Take one page of the reading and chew on it for 2 or 3 weeks, okay? If you get one of the arguments in the reading, you'll be okay with the other ones, okay? And it's deep. And it's a real ticket to emptiness, okay? This is, they call this study the key to Madhyamika, and it is, okay? It's the key to seeing emptiness directly. You must, sooner or later, grapple with these things. So don't be wimpy, okay? Take it home and attack it, but it's going to take some serious time and some serious effort, okay? It's not crazy, it's not semantical BS, it's extremely profound, okay? And it's very, very close to understanding dependent origination, which is, if you see the meaning of dependent origination directly, then you are within, say, 3 or 4 hours of seeing emptiness directly, okay? Very profound. Chochok. The last moments of the path of preparation. And then you flop over into Tonglam, the direct perception of emptiness. So, it's an honor to study this subject. It's an honor to teach it. And try hard, okay? Put on your thinking cap, okay? It's hard. All right? Here we go. Say chi, chada, chi, chada. Okay, the vignette, the subject for tonight, is chi chada. Okay, it's known that way. Everybody says, what are you studying? You know, what are you debating nowadays? Oh, chi chada. Oh, cool. Chi chada. Okay, chi. I'm going to give you the very important. This is the most important thing I'm going to say tonight. Okay, ready? I'll give you a provisional translation of chi chada. I'll give you the easy one. And then in about 10 or 15 minutes, I'll give you the real one. Okay? So here's the general one. Okay? It's not the one that's going to get you to see emptiness quickly. But we'll start here. Okay? Chi general. Okay, so chi is a general category. And chedak is a specific member of that category. And I'll give you an example. You could also call it sets and subsets if you know set theory. Okay. I only remember what I got in fourth grade, and that's all I know about it. That wasn't Mrs. Melvin, but. So here's an example. Car could be the chi. Which is the general category. And then different members of that set can be Chevrolets, Fords, let's say Chevys, Fords, and Toyotas, okay? And these are Chedak. Now what happens when you divide Chevys into old Chevys? And new Chevys? Chevys becomes the chi. Okay, so if you divide it this way, it's like that. But if you restrict yourself to this, Chevys is the chi. And all the new Chevys are the chedaks. Very general test, okay, very general test of whether something is a chi of a chedak is to imagine what would happen if you wiped out all the chis. Would it wipe out the thing you're talking about? Okay, like if I want to check and see if an old Chevy is chedak of a chi, I wipe out all the Chevys in the world. Have I automatically wiped out all the old Chevys in the world? Yes. That's one indication that it might be a chedak. Okay, that's a general test achieve domination and dominion, okay? By dog the cheese, then you dog the cheddar, okay? If you wipe out all the cheese, then all the cheddars get automatically wiped out. That's a general test. There's a more specific test that we'll talk about, okay? That's the general meaning of chi and cheddar. I'm going to give you some other meanings of chi and cheddar, okay? Of chi. And you should learn them too. Okay, there are three generally speaking, three types of chi. By the way, the root text here says Deju Riki Gone Sumin Bechu. Deju Riki Gone means just nominally, implying that some of them are not real. Okay, when you have a division in scripture, we can divide this into five different categories. And then they'll say, nominally speaking, it implies that some of them are not real. What's an example? Like, you know what natural nirvana means? What's it mean? Emptiness itself. Okay? Is it a kind of nirvana? No. Can you call it nirvana? Yes. Okay, and that's what we would say, like a nominal nirvana. You can call it nirvana, but it's not a real nirvana because it's not overcoming your mental afflictions forever. This pen has emptiness, but it hasn't overcome any mental afflictions. But you can say it has what we call natural nirvana. Okay, that's another division which is not real, you see? It just is given that name. So I can give you three kinds of cheese, but I warn you, two of them aren't real. Okay? Two of them can be called chi. It helps you understand what a chi is. But technically they're not chis. Okay? Deju Riki Gone, very important in logic. Nominally you can divide it into three types. Okay? Okay, here's the first one. Say Rikchi. Rikchi. Rik means a type, okay? A type. Like what? Like Chevy. Okay? A type. A kind. Okay, or even like car. You see, car can be a type. How many things are characteristic of that type? All Chevys, Toyotas, Fords. Okay, so you start getting the idea of a general type or a general quality, and the things which are characteristic of that quality. Okay, like car would be a Rikchi. Okay, and its Chedaks would be Chevys, Fords, and Toyotas. Chevys could be a Rikchi, a general type. And then its particular members would be old Chevys and new Chevys, or Bel Airs and Corvettes and whatever. Okay? All right? Definition of a Rikchi. I'll just read it to you. I had it, the Tibetan here, and I said, no, I don't want to torture them too much this time. That existing thing which subsumes the multiple things which are of its type, okay? It just means it's a general quality and many things are characteristic of it, okay? It's a general quality. What's the general quality? Carness, okay? And here I present for you a new idea, and this is the guts of tonight's talk, okay? If you think about it, it's a general quality. And things which are, write this down, this is very important. Think carefully, and I beg you to do that, okay? If you're going to get out of samsara in this lifetime, you must understand what I'm about to say, okay? Think of car as quote car. Okay? Car. Quote car. Or the quality of carness. If you think very, very carefully, it's the difference between a car, the car, and car. Okay? You have to think about it. You have to go home and think about it. Okay? Very, very, it's life or death question for you. You have to get the difference. A car, the car and car. Okay. Car. Okay, car with quotation marks around it. Carness. Okay? Carness is not the same as a car, right? A Chevrolet, carness is a quality. Carness is an attribute, okay? Carness is a nature. And then there are different objects in the world which are characteristic of that quality. And you have to get used to those terms, okay? Carness is a quality. Car, quote, is a quality or a nature. And there are different objects in the world which possess that nature or which are characteristic of that nature. For example, Chevys, Fords, and Toyotas. And you have to get used to that. You have to get used to that, okay? How your reality is occurring is closely tied to the question of carness, okay? Why you are perceiving your reality the way you are, what you're doing wrong, why you are suffering, is directly related to understanding carness, okay? And the quality called car, okay? It's very, very subtle, and you have to work on it. If you understand it, if you come to a point where you can understand it, you will understand dependent origination. That will trigger a day that you see it directly. That will trigger the direct perception of emptiness. This class is the most important class you've ever had, maybe, okay? This could trigger a chain of events that could make you see emptiness, okay? The day you see emptiness, I mean, I'll put the carrot out, okay? You can see your future enlightenment directly, and you know how many days left. You know how many lifetimes, and you know the nature of those lifetimes. You know what you'll be doing generally. You know how you will live. You know your circumstances. So what else is there to do with this life, you see? You see the Buddha directly. You see your future lives directly. You know exactly how many lives it's going to be, and you see your future enlightenment. So who's going to do anything for you, okay? Who's going to talk you out of or into anything else? You know, you're an Arya. You understand everything. And it's this weird sensation of just being totally independent of everything going on in the world. You saw it. No one can tell you anything else about it. In those 15 to 20 minutes, you see the contents of the entire scriptures on emptiness. And you can go ahead and study them the rest of your life, but you've already understood everything they have to say. Period. Your direct perception of emptiness is exactly equivalent to the direct perception of emptiness of a Buddha or an Arhat. Period. It's not anything less than that. Okay? It's perfect. And you see all these spiritual things, and they are true. And so they give them the name for Arya truths, okay? Because you see them and you know they're true, okay? You have to understand this carnous thing, okay? This is between you and that carrot, okay? You have to understand the carnous thing, all right? I'm talking about chi chedak as carnous, as a quality. And Chevys and Fords and Toyotas that are characteristic of that quality. And you have to start thinking of chi chedak in the words quality and characteristic of. By the way, I don't say a characteristic. Scratch that from what I, you know, don't think like that. I'm not saying a characteristic. Okay? I'm saying characteristic of or typical of. Okay? A Chevrolet is characteristic of the quality called car or carness. Okay? I'm not saying it's a characteristic of like blueness or whiteness is a characteristic of this pen. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that a Chevy is characteristic of or typical of the quality called carness. And you have to get used to that and you have to work with that. Okay? If I lost you or if you feel uncomfortable, stick with it, okay? Stick with it. You must understand this subject. Eventually, okay? In some lifetime. Just jump over it now, okay? Go home and think about it. And by the way, you have to pray for the blessings of your lamas, okay? You have to pray also. You really have to get divine assistance on this one, okay? So go home and do a really good preliminaries, Yen Lak Dun, right? 7 steps. And work on it really hard, you know, ask the lamas for their help, you know, visualize them and ask them for help. It's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way it's going to happen. Okay? some heavy-duty guru yoga would be in order. Okay? I'm not kidding. You know, on the order of building a house or something. I don't need a house, but anyway. Something like that, and I'm not kidding. Okay? All right. Remember this page here. Get this page down. Okay? Make sure you have this page down. Okay? Yeah.
Could you speak that to the tape for people?
The page? Yeah. First half of the page says general quality, underlined quality, which is car in quotation marks, or the quality of car-ness. Okay? That was the car as a G. Okay? Car as a G. And then there's a big line across the page, and then underneath it says, and those things which are characteristic or typical of it, which is chidda. An example of the chi is ka, in quotation marks. You're going to see all these quotation marks in the reading. You say, this guy went crazy with his quotation. Maybe it's stuck on the keyboard or something. Not so. I'm indicating the quality. Okay? You can read ness if you want. Okay? Car ness. But you must get it. Car ness. Okay? Car.
And the question I had was, when you taught this before, you spoke of quality characteristics in general and specific. Are you relating those now? The general to the quality and specific?
Yeah, the real meaning, the deeper meaning of the word general is quality. The deeper meaning of the word characteristic is characteristic of. Okay? And if, you know, you could get up and teach this thing as general categories and specific members of those categories. But if you get up and teach it as quality and those and characteristic of that quality, it's much, much more close to the meaning of dependent origination.
Can I ask you to repeat what you said about the Chevy and the car relationship, saying it both ways, with general and specific and quality and characteristic?
General and specific, you could say...
You used it to...
You could say cars as general category, called cars, all cars in the world. And then its members are Chevrolet cars, Ford cars, and Toyota cars. Okay? And that would be a general category and the members of that general category. And that's one way to teach this class. It will not get you to see dependent origination like dynamite. But if you call it quality, called carness, or quote, car. Quote is very important. What do I mean when I say quote, car? What does it mean when you say car in quotation marks? It means the quality of car-ness. Okay? And you gotta go home and think about it, okay? And those objects which are characteristic of car-ness, okay, which are typical of car-ness, are Chevys, Fords, and Toyotas. That's a distinction. It's very subtle. You must learn it.
Same relationship as a prior example of general.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Same words. Okay? Same words. Okay? The classical Chichadat, by the way, that's the main thing. Let me go through like on a flow. No? Okay. Yeah. The deeper one. Yeah, yeah, we're still on Rikchi. Yeah. We're on the deeper meaning of Rikchi. Okay? Go on to the second chi. Let me flow through, and then we'll get questions later. Okay. Some very important subjects I have to flow. Okay. And then you can stop me later. Okay. Number two. Say denchi. Denchi. I could say like three characteristics in the definition of a denchi. So instead of giving you the technical definition, which is a long story, I'll give you the elements of the definition, and that's all you need. Okay? Number one, A. It's a mental image. Think of your refrigerator at home. Okay? I don't know. Something intimate, all right? Think of your refrigerator at home, okay? And that image in your mind, okay, is a dunchi, all right? That's a dunchi, okay? By the way, Buddhist philosophy distinguishes between Dunchi and Dachi. I'm not going to get into Dachi, okay? Dunchi, technically speaking, and it's not the point tonight, Dunchi is a mental image of something with which you are familiar and which you have already perceived, okay? Dachi, as opposed to Dunchi, is a mental image of something you've heard about but not experienced directly. For example, I don't have a Dunchi of Clinton, President Clinton. I have one of Robert Clinton, but not of President Clinton, okay? But I have lots of Dachis. By the way, I have a Dunchi of him on the TV, and I have a Dunchi of him in film or on video, or on the front of New York Times or something. But I don't have a Dunchi of him. You know, I didn't go to the White House and see him face to face, okay? But I have a Dachi. I've heard about this guy. I know generally what he looks like that. I can form a mental image of him based on what I've heard, and that's called a Dachi. Dunchi should be something that you've had a direct experience of, okay? Like your refrigerator at home, I hope, okay? You've had a... But you can get a mental image of your refrigerator at home, okay? That's what's called a Dunchi, mental image. Second quality of it is that you mistake it for the actual object. Now here the schools diverge, okay? What they mean when they talk about this in Madhyamika is one thing. What the Sautrantikas, school number two, think it means is different. I'm going to give you the one that relates to you seeing emptiness directly, because that's what we'd like to do, okay? It's very similar to the Sautrantika position, but not exactly the same, okay? But anyway, it is, for example, we've given the example many times, you're standing next to a stove in your kitchen, you've put a pot of water on the stove to make tea for your mama, you've been studying Chichedak like crazy, okay? And you're staring at the pot, and then suddenly you realize that you're not looking at a pot, you're looking at a mental picture of the pot, because all there is out there is a circle of silver, a black long thing. You see, all your eye can see is clues, indicators of pot. It sees long black thing. It sees silver round thing. It sees glint. You know, it sees little ovals forming where the bubbles are coming up, but they're not bubbles to your eye. They are just colors and shapes. See, the eye can't think I'm seeing a pot of water. The eye is only seeing colors and shapes. And then the mind, under the influence of your past karma, in fact, ruled and dictated by your past karma, organizes that data into a certain object, okay? There's black, there's silver, there's shiny. I think it's a pot. And then your mind fills in the blanks, and your mind creates this dunchi, see, this mental image of a pot. And then you're actually staring mentally at an image of a pot in your mind. And then you think that's the pot. Okay, you mistake that for the pot. Because all you're actually getting is some sense data, okay? If you were the roach crawling across the top of the stove at the same moment, getting the same sensory data input, you would interpret, because of your past karma, you would interpret that as a life-threatening hell realm with a burning iron floor. Do you see what I mean? Validly so. It's no more a pot than it is a hell realm floor. You see what I mean? There's nothing that says it has to be a pot to a roach. It is validly and correctly a hell realm burning floor to a roach. I mean, metaphorically speaking, hell realm metal floors are much worse. But to a roach, it's a life-threatening object as big as a mountain. Better run, you know, or you'll get fried. Okay? Validly. Because that being's karma is forcing that being to take that same sense data and organize it into a dunchi. He's also mistaking his mental image of a mountain burning with metal. He's also mistaking that mental image to be an external object, and it's not. Okay, he's making the same mistake. Okay, he's also interpreting it, and he's also looking at a dunchi and not at a real object. Okay, and if you think about it carefully, that's what makes him a roach. He is not a roach independently existing as a roach. He is a roach because of the collective impressions that his karma is forcing him to have about the same sense data that you're getting. And your karma is forcing you to organize things mentally into dunjis that are much more comfortable, normally. Okay? And that's what it is to be a human. There is no human outside of that collection of perceptions. You see? That's what it makes you different from a roach. That's what makes you a human. It's very interesting. Your karma, it's not that there's a roach's world and then your karma throws you. You know, people say that. It's not true. It's not that there's an animal realm and your karma is throwing you into the animal realm. It's not that there's a pre-existing human realm and your karma is throwing you into the human realm. Your karma is the human realm. His karma is the animal realm. You see what I mean? It's the dunjis which are being forced upon you. It's the way in which your past karma is forcing your mind to make mental images from the same data. Is what forces you into a roach's realm. Okay? That makes tantric enlightenment possible. You must change your karma. It's lousy right now. It's what we call karnat mandipa. You're stuck with this lousy mix of black and white karma. Make it perfect, and the same fact that allows a roach to see it as a burning floor and a human to see it as a pot of water can make you see it, experience as the nectar of immortality. Literally. Okay? And it's great. So dunjis are very important. Okay? Dunjis are running your world and they make everything possible. Yeah. Love. You're having a dunji. She said, it's like you meet somebody and you don't have a real clear mental image of them, or perhaps, but you have a sort of a vibration from them or a feeling about them. That's also a dunji. That's a dunji to have a mental image of some kind of vague feeling about them. That's fine. Same rules apply. That sense data is making you have a... Your karma is forcing you to interpret that sense data as a vague feeling about this person. No problem. Same rules apply. Same rules apply for every single mental or physical event in your life. They're all dunjis, and you're mistaking them for some outer object. When you do that, you can hate and you can like and dislike. And then you get into trouble, you see? Only when you think that the object is out there and is not depending on your own dunjis that you have created can you dislike someone or like someone in the wrong way. You see, only then can you collect karma by having these negative emotions, the three. You know, if you really saw that everything you perceive is only your fault, you know, every asshole you ever met is your problem. You created it. You're maintaining that asshole. You know, then who are you going to get mad at? You know, you'll just go home and be sad that you had such crappy karma and you didn't keep your book. You know what I mean? Go home and be sad that you didn't keep your book. I didn't have time. You know, that's it. You would be freed of the emotion of disliking things. You would reach a thing called nirvana. Why? Because you understood its emptiness. You see, it's very cool. Okay? That's a dunji. You see that it's not the same as a rikchi. Okay? But you also see that they are very, very sexy connection between them. Something's happening here. You see? Karnus. And your mental image of a car. Something very close there. And you have to investigate that. It will liberate you if you see the connection. You see? Some intimate relation between karnus and the thing in your mind that you see when you think of car. Okay? The mental image in your mind when you look at a car. And that brings me to the third quality of a dunji. Take everything in the world which is not this very pen and cancel it. What's left? The pen. Okay? And that's how you, according to, this is very Sautrantika, okay? This is very Pramanavartika. This is very Master Dhammakirti, okay? The mental image that you have going on in your head of this pen is a mental exercise which your mind goes through every time you perceive something of canceling everything that the pen is not. which leaves the image of the pen, okay, in your mind. Now that's a big deal in South Africa. Yeah.
Is there a key that, I mean, you specified each one to be any direct experience with an image or an indirect experience?
What about any image that you have no experience with, although you are experiencing an edge? You'd say, he asked, like, we've made a distinction between a mental image of something you've had a direct experience of, and then we distinguished it from a mental image of something that you've heard about so you can form a picture of it. But what about like when you're hallucinating or something, like you're on acid or something, and you start getting these mental images? Do they apply there? I don't know. You could call them cheese. You could call them mental images. According to Buddhism, they would come from some prior experience that you had had. I wouldn't call them a dunti necessarily. But that's a long story. They are confused images of a hallucinating mind, and they are mental images. Okay. Where was it? I got lost. Anyway, that's the third quality. This is very South Traffic idea, and it will help you a little bit. It's not the main point. Okay. I mean, it's interesting to know. It's interesting to experiment and to investigate the process or the way in which your mind seems to be doing this, but I think it's more important to reflect on how this is coming from your past karma. I mean, it's more important for your enlightenment and more important for your tantric liberation to see how this is coming from your past karma. I'll take some questions later on, okay? In about 15 minutes, something, maybe. Okay. It's much more important. By the way, some Buddhist schools in Tibet think that emptiness means point number three here. That the emptiness of something is the fact that it is the opposite of all which it is not. It is the negation of all that it is not, called by some people shento. And they think that's what emptiness means. It's not. Dharmakirti spent a lot of time on it, describing how it plays a part in perceiving things. It is not the emptiness of an object, okay? Because if it were, you would have a direct perception of emptiness every time you perceive anything, and that's too easy, okay? All right? Okay. Last kind of cheat. So if your homework said, give an example of a dunti, you might say, the opposite of all that a pen is not, as I imagine it while I perceive something, and that which I mistake as the real pen, as a real pen, you know, I mistake it to be a real pen. Is there a self-existent, existing from its own side, inherent, having its own nature, real pen out there? No, because it's a chewable object, and you know that. It's not a pen. Right? To a dog, it's a chewable object. That proves it doesn't have its own nature. Okay? Period. By the way, I'll give you a clue in the reading. Take note. Okay? There'll be a place in the reading where they'll say, like, dunties are false because everything is dogme. Okay? I mean, this is your mental image of a pen is not the real pen because everything has its own emptiness. Like if I come up to you and say, as a reason, okay, for proving anything, because every object in the world has its own emptiness, Jay Silver, you can say, I agree with your reason. I don't know what you're trying to prove yet, but your reason is true. I will not say to you, dogma do. Okay? Dogma do means your reason is bad. And you're gonna learn that tonight. There's two debating terms you're gonna learn tonight. Somebody gives you a reason. By the way, it doesn't have to be to prove anything yet. Because all things lack any nature of their own. You can say, okay, I do not say dogma do. I don't know what you're trying to prove, but your reason's not bad. Your reason is true. Okay? I don't know what you're trying to prove yet, but the reason is so far good. Okay, so you won't say dogma do. You'll see that in the reading tonight. Don't get confused. They'll try to prove something, and the last thing they'll say, because nothing has its own nature. And you can say, okay. Which is to say, everything exists that exists. You know, my head is my head. I like Cheerios. Okay, I mean, any general truth. Okay, all right. Last kind of chi. By the way, not to be confused with the Chinese chi, which means inner wind or something like that. I don't know, okay? I've had students tell me, well, which one is that, you know? Okay. It happens. Lung. High tone lung. Lung. Okay. Is Tunqi? Tunqi. Oh, you can say mental image. Yeah, mental image. Very close to the quality, but not a real quality, is it? Or is it? You know, what's the difference between car-ness, quote car, and the mental image you form when you perceive a car? Okay? Explore that question, and it will take you very close to seeing emptiness. Okay? What's the difference between car-ness, or car with quotation marks around it, and the dunji that you get when you perceive a car? Okay? It was a huge question in India. What is it in the human mind that allows you to look at four hooves, a big bump, and some horns and say, Mahe, this is an Indian ox? You know, what is it in your mind that allows you to understand that the thing is an ox? What is it in your mind that allows you to organize those parts into a thing and think, Mahe? I mean, this is a huge question in the Pramanavartika, okay? The answer, of course, is your past karma is forcing you to organize it that way, okay? Which makes tantric enlightenment possible in this life, okay? But you gotta keep your book, okay? Okay, say Tsokchi. Tsokchi. This is easy. A physical collection of parts is called a Tsokchi. Tsok means a group, a conglomerate, a bunch of stuff, okay? And then Chi means a general object in the sense of having its own members, in the sense of having its own parts. You see, there is a use in English of members that way, right? It's a collection of its members, meaning of its parts. You see what I mean? You could, for example, say a water pitcher, right, is a collection of a handle, a spout, a base, and a belly of the pitcher. Okay, and that's a tsokchi. Okay? In Abhidharma philosophy, which you'll see in your reading, they use the example of all things are composed of molecules, and all molecules are composed of the eight, they're called the eight components, okay? Four qualities of earth, fire, wind, and water, and then something to do with the object of the senses of your eye, your nose, your tongue, and your body, and they leave out the object of the sense of sound because it's so fleeting, and there's a long debate about it. Anyway, you know, in ancient Abhidharma atomic theory, all physical objects are made up of particles which include eight different qualities. And so that would be its tsokchi-ness, you see? The fact that it's a gross physical object composed of molecules. It's a physical collection of parts, okay? Like any particular car. And I didn't say car, okay? A big difference, okay? This is a lousy chi. This is the chi you could kick out right away. This is gross, physical, collection of a bunch of parts. It's not any big chi. What he's trying to say when he says nominally this is a chi, he's saying, come on, this is not a real chi. Chi is like intellectual car-ness thing. It's not a particular car made up of its parts, you know, its wheels, its steering wheel, the engine, okay? That's very gross. Seeing that or seeing how a car is a collection of its physical parts is not going to get you that far to seeing dependent origination or emptiness. You know, understanding how you perceive or conceptualize car-ness when you see a car or you think of a car, that process could get you enlightened. It could make you see emptiness directly. It is the key to seeing emptiness. You must, you know, go home and meditate about this for about 5 years, okay? All right? It's worth it. It'll happen, okay? That's all. Let's take a break. If anybody has a burning question, come up to me during the break, okay? Take a 10-minute break, come back. Remember in the unsophisticated version that doesn't get you to see dependent origination quickly, Cheda could mean member of a general category, right? In the more sophisticated way that does get you to see dependent origination, which does get you to see emptiness, which does remove all your suffering, okay. It's like something which is characteristic of, you see? And we could give the example of say ngopo, pumba, ngopo, pumba. Ngopo means a working thing, right? It's a synonym for changing thing. Anything that does anything is automatically changing by doing something. Anything which is changing is automatically doing something. Okay? And one day we're going to have a great debate about whether emptiness does anything because it's unchanging. Okay? Empty space, for example, which is one of the classic examples of an unchanging thing, inspires a perception of it, engenders a perception of it, functions to... No, you can't say that. We could debate it sometime. Okay? I'm going to give you three tests of whether a bumpa, which means water pitcher, right? People say vase, lousy translation. It wasn't the point. The point is you're in a village in ancient India, you're in this little clay hut, and the teacher is teaching this student emptiness, and he says, it's water cup, get it? And he's pointing to the water pitcher that's there in the room, okay? Lopo, meaning anything that works, anything that does anything, okay? I translate it as working thing, functional thing. Okay. If we keep working, we'll get Neil Young. Ngopo is bumpa, a chedak, of the chi ngopo. Okay, we have to explore that. All right. I don't know. So working thing being the quality, and water pitcher being the thing which is characteristic of that quality. Okay? Being a working thing is the general quality. We have big demons today. That's a real demon, by the way. Seriously. You know, something that would take your mind off of emptiness. Anyway, you get it. Water pitcher is characteristic of the quality called working thing. Thanks. <Ta-da>. Okay. three tests, you know? Three tests between a water pitcher and a working thing. And sorry, I said a very bad thing. I said a working thing. I'm very sorry. Three tests between a water pitcher and working thing. And there's a big difference, okay? So here we go. The three tests of whether something is a chedak or not. By the way, there ain't any Buddhist scripture that doesn't have a direct impact on your enlightenment, okay? There doesn't exist one. They're all really incredibly sexy and relevant to your enlightenment. You just have to get someone to explain it to you why, okay? But never think, I mean, logic, people don't study logic. People say, oh, this is dumb, you know, this is boring. It is essential for your enlightenment. And all scripture is like that. If you could come to see that all scripture, ka, was directly relevant advice to your personal enlightenment, dam, we could call you a kadampa. And that's what the word means. You know, it's a person who gets it. Jetsun Kapa said, if you can get to this what's it say? Surya Tam say Dhamma Shavadam. That's the line, you know. If you can get to the point where you understand that the Buddha didn't say anything that didn't relate directly to your own enlightenment, you're really well along the path, and we can call you a Kadampa, okay? That's the real meaning of Kadampa, okay? Okay, first one, Kyo Ngopo Yin. Say Kyo Ngopo Yin. Kyo Ngopo Yin. First test of whether a water pitcher is characteristic of the quality we know as working thingness, if you want, okay, is a water pitcher a, here's the A, English is different from Sanskrit and Tibetan, is a water pitcher a working thing? First test. Now you can use A's all over the place. Is a water pitcher a working thing? First test. Is a Chevy a car? First test of whether it's a chedak of that chi. By the way, I ask you, is there anything which is a car, which is not a particular of the set called cars? Because if there isn't, then this is stupid. I'll say it again. This is hard to remember. Is there anything which is car, which is not a member of the set called car? How's that? Is there anything which is a car, which is not already a member of the set of thing called car, of cars? Because if there is, this is unnecessary. I mean, if there isn't, well, anyway, yeah. How about a motor vehicle? You see, it's not a chedak of cars. And you got to get used to that. If two sets are completely equal, we don't call one characteristic of that quality. See, characteristic means those things which are typical of that, not the whole set of things which are equal to that. Okay? Different thing. Car and motor vehicle are equivalent sets. They are not like one belongs under the other, okay? They're not set and subset. Okay? So this is not enough to define a chedak. Okay? What do we have to say on top of this? There are other stuff that's also that thing, but that's not a water pitcher. Okay? If you want to prove that something is a member of a set, you have to say, well, one, it is what that set is, but two, there's other things in the set that are not it. Okay? You got to get used to that. Okay? That's chedak. Chedak means, if you want, a particular thing which is in that set. And motor vehicle is not a particular thing which is in the set called car. Why? It is that set. Okay? You got to get used to that. Yeah? Absolutely. Almost. Oh, sorry? No, car is not. Car is equivalent to motor vehicle. Or you could say the set of all cars is equivalent to the set of all. Not equivalent. By the way, in Tibetan Buddhist logic, we distinguish between the same as and equivalent to. Okay? Oh, I'm using it in the sense of car only, of car alone. Okay, sorry. Okay, I'm using the word motor vehicle. You could say, well, give me another set of things. How about all working things and all changing things? Okay, two sets which are totally equivalent. I'm sorry, I meant motor vehicle in the sense of cars only. Okay. Yeah, that's great. Automobile and car. Okay. Absolutely. Yeah. When there are two different names for the same set, you cannot call one of them a chedak of that chi. That's all. Okay? Car and automobile are not chi and chedak. They are two ways to name the chi if you're talking about Chevys, the chedak if you're talking about all functioning things. Got that, right? Okay. First requirement for a member of a set or something characteristic of a specific quality is that it be that thing. A water pitcher is a working thing. Okay. Second requirement. Kyur in Tibetan normally means you. Okay, in scripture it can mean it. So those of you studying Tibetan, especially if you had Rinchen Darlo's colloquial class, in scripture, in logic, Kyur can mean it. Okay. Lupo means working thing. Dung means with in the sense of sharing a relationship with. Okay, dung normally means and, but here it means with in the expression to share a relationship with. Okay. And the del at the end means to share a relationship. To share a relationship. It's a verb here. Okay? It shares a relationship, del, with dung, lupo, working thing. Okay? Kyo meaning it. So I'll go to bet, you know, English syntax, you know, English word order, it, kyo, shares a relationship, del, with dung, lupo, working things, such that it is dakchik to del, dakchik to. And dakchik to is a nasty idiom. People have abused this poor idiom. It's almost untranslatable. You know, they say one self, one essence, one being, one. It doesn't mean anything in English. What it means, I translate it like this, and this is the only thing it means, and if you can find a better way to translate it, God bless you. It shares, oh, get this, a pitcher shares a relationship with working thing such that to be a pitcher is automatically to be a working thing. And that's what dakchikdu means. Okay? To be one is to automatically be the other. If you are a Chevy, you are automatically a car. And in Tibetan, that's dakchikdudel. It's an idiom. It's very difficult to translate. You can say one being, one essence. To me, it doesn't give me the it doesn't convey to me the meaning of it. The meaning is to be one is to be the other automatically. Okay? To be a water pitcher is automatically to be a working thing. Okay? To be one is to be the other. And that's all. Yeah.
It's not reciprocal. It sounds like it should be
She asked if it can be reciprocal. It can be, it doesn't have to be. We have in Buddhist logic the expression one-way dakchik and two-way dakchik. Okay? What does that mean? Chevys, to be a Chevy is to be a car, but to be a car is not to be a Chevy necessarily. Okay? So it can be reciprocal, as in the case of automobile and car. To be an automobile is to be a car, and to be a car is to be an automobile. We call that pensin dachikdel, you know, which is really called yinkyap nyam if you want to get fancy in Tibetan Buddhist logic. Or the relationship can be a one-way relationship only. Chevrolets are dachikdel with working things, but working things are not necessarily, to be a working thing is not necessarily to be a car. I mean, to be a, yeah, Chevrolet is necessarily a car, but a car is not necessarily a Chevrolet. So it can go both ways, or it can go one way. And you put the thing being related to first, and the thing relating to it second. Okay? So you're going to get confused with that, but if you study the translation, you'll get it. Okay? I object to the translation of one essence or one nature or something like that. It doesn't give me the feeling that the words to be one is to be the other. You know? That's all. So it's hard to see it in the Tibetan. Yeah. He asked, does working things have to be the only example here? Is it the definitive example or is it just one example? It's just one example. You could use it about cars and Chevrolets. You could use it about anything, okay? We were talking about, it's a very good question. What he's really asking is this the definition of a chedak? Or is this the description of a chedak in a particular relationship where we're talking about water pitchers and working things? The answer is the second, okay? Some things in Buddhist logic you can only define by actually giving a case. And that's how they define Chedak. Okay? There isn't really a separate... You could make one up, but they choose in this text, the Dalai Lama's tutor, the last Dalai Lama's tutor, chooses in his text to use this example as the definition. Okay? Okay, last quality. If I can find it. The last thing you have to be a good Chedak, to be characteristic of a certain quality, is Kya Mayin Shing Wapu Yang Yinpe Shi Tumba Tuma Tum. Say Kyu Mayin Shing Ngopo Yang Yimbe Shi Tumba Tuma Tu. Okay. Tibetan word order is pretty much the opposite of English, unfortunately. Okay. Number one, trup means there do exist. There exist. Duma. Those of you who are studying Tibetan, Duma will be your enemy for the next 20 years. Okay. Why? Because it looks like a locative particle followed by a negative. Tu madu. It's also the word for many in Tibetan, and it's a bitch, okay? Like, you don't know whether it's Duma or Du Madhu, okay? This one happens to be Duma. In about 1% of the cases, it's Duma, and you will search through your dictionary for weeks and never find it, okay? So beware of Duma, okay? Duma means many, okay? There do exist, what do we have so far? There do exist many. Now there's a very beautiful word called Shitumba. Say Shitumba. 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 I've seen it translated, you know, if you guys learn Tibetan well and start translating in normal English, you're going to put a lot of people out of business. I've seen it translated as common locus. Yeah, sounds like some kind of bad grasshopper or something. But anyway, it just means one thing which is both A and B, okay? And learn to translate it that way, for God's sake, okay? One thing which is both blank and blank, and then you just fill in the blank, okay? And please translate it that way, okay? Everybody can understand it. It won't be as mystical, but it'll be more correct, okay? One thing which is both blank and blank, okay? And that's how you should translate, how I suggest you translate Chitumba if you want anyone to read your book, patch the third page. Okay? One thing which is both, here's the first part, Kyo Mayin. This Shing here means and. And then here's going to be the second part. B, A and B. Okay. What makes pitcher, a water pitcher, characteristic of the quality called working thing? Well, the last requirement is that there should exist many other things which are both A and B. What are the two things? You can guess if I gave you 5 minutes. We don't have enough time. It is both Kyo Mayin. Kyo Mayin means not it. Right? Kyo means it. Mayin means not. Not what? A water pitcher. Okay, what do we got so far? There must be many other objects which are both A, not a water pitcher, but which are B, nonetheless, still nupos, still working things. And if you think about it, that's what makes something a member of a set. Okay, there are many other things which are both A, not it, but still belong to that set. Big deal, that's all, okay? And that's all. That's the third requirement.
Can you just repeat that whole sentence again?
Yeah. There should be, there should exist many other things. I'm sorry, I like to say multiple because sometimes there's not that many. Okay, I prefer to say multiple. There should exist multiple other things which are A, not it, meaning not a water pitcher, in this case, but which are still B, working things. All it means is, for Chevy to be a kind of car, there should be many other cars which are not Chevys. That's all. Then you can say that Chevy is a member of the set card called car if you don't want to see dependent origination quickly. Or you can say there are many other things which are characteristic of the quality carness which are not Chevys. And there's a big difference in the level between those two statements, okay? All right? I was afraid you'd ask me that. He wants me to say them again. One way to say it is, there's a lot of other cars that aren't Chevys. And that's what makes Chevys members of the set called cars. That's the normal way to say it. It won't help you to see emptiness that quick. Think of it this way. There are many other objects which are characteristic of carness, but which are not Chevys. Learn to think of it that way. There's a big difference between those two levels. One is forcing you to think about mental images and forcing you to think about your reality and what you're doing all day long. According to the higher schools of Buddhism, every single perception you've ever had until the day you see emptiness directly is mistaken. Every single perception, 65 of them per finger snap throughout the length of your life, okay, have been infected by mistaking the mental image for the thing. Okay? That's a lot. All right. And somehow that causes all of your suffering. Why? Because it's hard to hate something when you realize that you're doing it. Okay? It's hard to get jealous and be attached to a person if you realize that whether or not you get to keep them is totally dependent on you and your mind. You see, it doesn't depend on the other guy or the other girl or something like that. It's you. Okay? Okay, last thing. Here's a nice question that you're going to come across in the reading. And I want to bring it up because you might miss it, okay? You might get to that part in the reading, and if you live that long through this reading, okay? The most famous logical statement ever given by Buddhists in ancient India was to non-Buddhists who claimed that the sound Om was Takpa, okay? Was an unchanging, eternal thing. Om is the unchanging, eternal nature of the universe, or something like that. You know? And then the Buddha said, come on, it's a mitakpa. It's a great example for your life and your death. Sound itself is like, you know, it's like coming into existence and being destroyed instant by millisecond by millisecond. Forget it being eternal and unchanging, come on. It's changed like 300 times by the time it gets from my mouth to your ear. You know, it's in constant change, okay? And that's a metaphor for your life. So most famous statement in ancient India was, please repeat, Dachachin. Mitakte. Chebechu. One more time. Dachachin. Mitakte. Chebechu. Consider sound. Consider sounds. They are changing things. Why? Because they've been made. They're made. They were made by somebody. Anything that's made has to die. Anything that's born will fall apart. Anything you get in samsara, you will lose. Okay? I mean, that's what they're trying to make that point. Okay? Now consider the fact that sounds are changing.
Okay? Consider the fact that sounds are changing. Is that a tattva or a mitattva? Cook it. I'll say it again. What about the fact that sounds always change? Is that tattva or mitattva? Is it a changing thing or an unchanging thing? Hey, we got tattva and mitattva. It's tempting to say it's mitattva or changing because it involves changing things, right? Sounds are changing, so the whole thing must be changing, right? But listen more carefully. Is the fact that sounds change something that changes or not? No. It never changes. It is totally constant. Ergo, facts are unchanging things. You see? Facts are unchanging things. The fact that sounds are changing is truth itself. And truth doesn't change. In fact, the set of all things about which you can say sound is changing is exactly equal to the set of all things about which you can say they exist, which is exactly equal to the entire set of things about which you can say they have no nature of their own, they are empty. Cool? I'll say it again. The entire set of things, okay, that exist, about which you can say they exist. This big, okay? And the entire set of things about which you can say they have no nature of their own, they are only my projections. They are empty. And the entire set of things about which you can say it's true that sound changes are exactly equivalent. They are the same sets. And you've got to get used to that. They never change. It's truth itself. Okay? So I can prove something by saying, Jay Siller is sitting here because sound is a changing thing. You see? You got to get used to it. Or how about this? Because sound is a changing thing exists. Which is to say, because reality itself exists. Which is to say, because I'm standing here, you know. You see what I mean? It's a truth. It is truth. You got to get used to that. Cook it when you get home. I'm just giving three examples which happen in Scripture. The set of all things which exist. The set of all things about which you can say they exist. And the set of all things about which you can say they have no self-nature. They have no nature of their own. And the set of all things about which you can say sounds change are exactly the same. Okay? The set of all existing things about which you can say Michael and Zoe Shakes are the best is the same as the set of all existing things about which you can say they exist. Okay? Think about it. That's a trick question that's on your homework. Okay, last thing. How many last things can there be? By the way, what we call your Durna topic for tonight. I finished it, okay? Chichedak is finished. I'm moving on to formal logic. You're actually getting three classes in one. You're so lucky. Okay? This should go on for another hour and a half. We don't have time. So it's going to go on for 9 minutes or so. Then you get the third class in the last 2 minutes, all right? Okay? I'm going to cram through you formal logic, okay? We studied already. We spoke already about the subject and the parts of a logical statement. We talked about the subject, the quality that we're trying to prove about the subject, and the reason. We talked about it last week. We already talked about it. Let's take sounds. That's a subject. They are changing things. That's what I'm trying to prove. To whom? To some ancient non-Buddhist that says that Om is permanent. You see, Om is unchanging. Okay? And then, what am I using for my proof? Because they are made by somebody. Sounds are made. Okay? So, first thing, subject, sounds. Quality I am trying to prove about them, they change. Reason I am giving to prove that assertion, because they're made. Assertion itself combination of elements 1 and 2. The subject plus what? The quality I'm trying to prove about it, which is to say, sounds are changing. Sounds are changing things. That's my assertion. We had those all last week. This one is called Chöchen. Its alias is Shenden Chöchen Kime. This one is called Dupche Chö. Number 2 is called Dupche Chö. Number 3 is called Dak. Number 1 and number 2 together are called Dupcha. Okay, you've had that much now. Now here's a new one. Two words and then you're home free. Okay. Say Tunchok. Tunchok. Chok means the whole side of something. In Sanskrit, Baksha. It means the whole side of something. Okay, like very common in Tibetan Buddhism to say the samsaric side of things and the enlightened side of things. Okay, like these are pakshas. These are called chok. The four directions are called choks. Okay. In logic, chok means a group of objects. Okay, a group. Tune means to get along with somebody, to be in harmony or to be in, what do you call it? Concord with somebody. I'm going to translate it as group of similar cases. In Buddhist logic, it means similar cases. And this is called Tunchok. Similar to what? I'll give an example. What's that big debate that the non-Buddhist, that the Buddhist gave to the non-Buddhist? Dachichen. Okay? Let's talk about sounds. They are changing things. Chibeche. Because they are things which are made. Okay? What's the quality we're trying to prove about sounds? That they are changing things. Okay? What would be the whole group or set of things which are similar to things which change? Oh, the pew you're sitting in, New York City, any changing object. You see, it's the whole set of things which fit that description of the quality you're trying to prove. Okay? It's the whole set of stuff that fits the description of the quality you're trying to prove. In this case, the quality you're trying to prove is they are changing things. So who is in the Tunchok? What kinds of things are in the Tunchok? Oh, pitchers, water pitchers, pillars, people, cows, cars, okay, mind, anger, jealousy, love, they're all changing, okay? They all belong to that set of similar cases, to that group of similar cases, okay? Why do you have to talk about this? Why do you have to keep getting more and more complicated? Can't we just have a simple syllogism, three things, you know? You're going to learn later on that truth itself depends on whether three relationships hold in the syllogism. If three relationships exist there, you got truth and a good argument and a good reason. And if three relationships are absent, if any one of them is absent, you've got a bad argument and what you're saying is false. Okay? You need this group of things to establish two of those relationships, and I'll talk about it later. That's why I'm setting you up for next time. Okay? That's why we're talking about the field of all things which are similar to the thing you're trying to prove, the quality you're trying to prove. Okay. We got to talk about his little brother, which is Mitunchok. And then maybe you really can go home. By the way, you would have debated all this by the time you were 13 in the monastery. This is the first subject you learn. Kind of cool. It means they learn how to debate, and then they start getting content of the debate. But they don't not allowed to touch the content until they understand the format. Okay? Say, Mi Tunchok. Mi Tunchok. It's the opposite of Tunchok, so what would it be? It's that group of everything which is dissimilar. Okay? You could say all the dissimilar cases. Okay? The group of dissimilar cases. And if you think about it, three possibilities are here. There are three possibilities for all the stuff in the world that is not like a changing thing. Okay. What? Well, how about Mepa? That's all you needed on Thursday night was like 3 hours of logic class, right? After working all day. Oh, well. Say Mepa?
Mepa?
Mepa? Mepa means things that don't exist anyway. Okay? Horns on the head of a rabbit are the classical example in scripture. Or what they mistranslate, the poor word got abused again, as sky flower, meaning a plant that could grow in midair. Okay? You know, like a gardenia that could just sprout and put its roots out and in midair with no water, no dirt, no sunlight, just boom. Okay, that's what they mean when they say sky flower. It's a mistranslation. Namka means empty space. In midair. Okay? A flower that just sprouts in midair. Okay? That would be an example of something that does not fit in the group of similar cases. Because why? It doesn't exist anyway. How could it be similar or just, you know? Okay, number two. Say Shemba. By the way, in each case, you would say Mi Chun Chok after that. So you'd say Mepa Mi Chun Chok, Shemba Mi Chun Chok, and then Gyawa Mi Chun Chok. I mean, if you're debating, okay? But I don't want to overload you more than I did about an hour ago, okay? Mepa means doesn't exist. Shemba means something other, okay? Something other. And it's a deceiving name because what it really means is something too big, like all existing things. You see? Like it's something too big. It's just other in the sense of being too massive to fit in the field of similar cases. All existing things. You can't say it belongs in the family of changing things. It's too fat to fit in that little car. Okay? All existing objects is too big to fit in the little Volkswagen called all changing things. You could not call it a member of all the group of similar cases. I mean, it's like, it has changing things in it, but it's just too big. It goes beyond the field of similar cases. It goes beyond the group of similar cases. It's too broad to be restricted into what we call changing things. And so we call it belonging to the group of dissimilar cases by virtue of being something else, meaning too big. It's too big. Okay? What? All existing things. That big fat guy called all existing things is too wide to fit in that little thing called all changing objects. So we call it, oh, here's another kind of field. It's another member of the group of dissimilar cases. Okay. Third one is easier. By the way, these are all important for establishing whether a statement is true or not, especially the five classical proofs for emptiness. Okay, so you have to understand these points. Okay, say Gelwa. Gelwa Mi Chun Chok. Gelwa Mi Chun Chok. Okay. Gelwa means directly opposite, directly contradictory. What would be the Gelwa Mi Chun Chok for changing things? The family of all unchanging things. That's a direct opposite, a direct contradiction. That's a group of dissimilar cases by virtue of being totally opposite of what we're talking about. You could also have a group of dissimilar cases by virtue of not even existing. You could also have a group of dissimilar cases by virtue of being too fat to fit in the family. Okay? And that's all the dissimilar cases there can be. That's your formal logic for tonight. Now we'll do some fun. 2 minutes of debating. I only want to teach you tonight. Yeah.
Can I ask one question?
Yeah.
About the teacher drop?
Yeah.
You said that to see emptiness you have to study and meditate on teacher drop, and you gave the example of, you know, quality and characteristics. Can you give a specific example? example of how you would meditate on quality and characteristics of a specific, in a specific way, and then how does that lead to perception mechanism? What's that process?
John asked, basically what he's asking is, if Chi Che Dak is like the immediate trigger that would help you to see emptiness, how can we turn it into a practical meditation? You know, if my homework, for example, said 15 minutes per day analytical meditation, trying to detect how you yourself tend to take your mental image of an object as being the object itself, okay? That would be my answer, okay? It means take something close to you. I mean, for me, I mean, take a pot of water if you have to make tea all day. You know, something that you're around all the time. Some kind of common object, and try to catch yourself when you look at it, fixating on an object which is too perfect. Come on. You never see the back of the pot. How do you know there's a back of the pot? I mean, technically, legally, logically speaking, you don't know if there's a back on that pot. You don't know that there's just a big empty space behind the part that you can't see, but your mind fills it in. And that's another indication of the truth, that you are watching a mental image. It's too good. Okay? You can also do it this way. Face it, you can never see the whole pot. What you think you're doing is totally impossible, even if you sit here and think about it logically. You can't see a whole pot without focusing on the left side and then moving your eyes to the right side. Right? But then you're not looking at a whole pot anymore. But if you don't look at the left side and the right side, you can't see a pot either. And come on, you can't see the whole thing at once. That's why your eye is always going like this. You know? Your eye is like picking up clues, and then the mind is turning it into a perfect Dun Chi, a perfect image. And you think you're watching Michael Roach. You're not. Okay? You're seeing my right hand, my left hand, the right side of my head, the left side of my head, and that's all you're seeing. You are seeing indications. And then your mind is gluing them in together and saying, there's a guy standing up there, a whole guy. Come on, it's impossible. You can't be seeing the whole thing at once. You don't know where my foot is by the time you've seen my head. Okay? You can't see the whole Michael Roach, but you think you are. Something's fishy, okay? And I'm not kidding, okay? I'm really not kidding. You can meditate on it like that.
So how do you relate that to quality and characteristic, what you just said? How do you fit those words in?
Think about Michael Roachness, the mental image of Michael Roach, and the parts of and the data that you receive through your eyes of Michael Roach, and try to compare those three things. Try to see if you can find a difference between them. I don't know. You have to figure it out. Okay. You have to figure it out, really. Okay. Okay, last thing. I'm going to give a classical debate thing, and you just learn. Debate is beautiful because it works like a computer program. It's just on-off switch. It's yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. All you have to answer is yes or no. Okay? If I frame the questions perfectly, then if you're the person sitting down, right, the attacker stands up. And there's another person sitting down. All you have to do is sit there like cool as a cucumber and say, right, no, right, no, right. Once in a while, you're allowed to clarify the question. Do you mean vase as a concept or as an actual vase? Do you mean a vase or vase, quote? You see, you can ask that. You're allowed to ask the question. You're also allowed to stall by saying, meaning, I can't hear you. There's all these guys yelling here. And in the meantime, you're thinking furiously, you know, like, you know, but you say, ah, la, la means I didn't catch it, you know. And in the meantime, you're thinking of your answer, you know, like you're stalling for the few milliseconds that you need, you know. Certainly, but normally you just say yes or no. And I'm going to teach you the two answers. Tonight we will only do two answers, okay. These are the two allowed answers to a statement. By the way, there's only a total of four, so you don't have any problem. We'll do two tonight and two next week. Chir is because in Tibetan. Like you'd say, Da Chichen. Say Da Chichen. Da Chichen. Chichen means, let's take this for example, right? Remember? Let's consider this example. You're stating the subject. Da means sounds, sounds, things you hear, okay? Da Chichen. Da Chichen. Okay, Da Chichen means, let's talk about sounds, okay? So first you make sure the guy knows what you're talking about. Then you're going to give the Dubje Chö what you want him to learn about it that he does not accept yet. Mitapa yinte. Okay? I'm sorry. Let's do a short way. Mitakte. Okay, learn. Mitakte. Mitakte. They are mitakpa. Okay? This is something he does not accept yet. It's the quality you're trying to prove. They are changing things. Okay? Now we'll do the whole assertion, right? Dachijen. Mitakte. Okay, that's all. The te is a colon, okay? Why? Because I'm about to tell you why. That's a colon. Te. Okay? Say, Dachijen. Mitakte. Okay? And then you're going to give him a blah, 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 cheer. And the cheer in Tibetan is because. Unfortunately, it comes at the end in Tibetan. You say, it's a made thing because. Okay? All right? In Tibetan, you say the because at the end. It's a made thing because. Okay? How do you say it in Tibetan? Chebe. Chir. Chebe chir. Chebe chir. And you go like, okay? Chebe chir. Okay. Because it's made, stupid head. Okay? Because it's made. Okay? One more time. Drachi chin. Mitate. Chebe chir. Because it's made. Okay? And that's supposed to be like, all the non-Buddhists go, oh, I get it. Okay? Okay. Take sounds. They are changing things because they are made. You now have two options to respond to me. And I want to, that's all I want to teach you is the two options. Okay? When you hear cheater, you know you got two options. Okay? Assuming what he said is wrong. Okay? Two ways to object to what he said. I know it's a lot to digest in one night, and maybe it's not wise to give you so much, but we all might die in 6 months or something. You might as well cram it. So bust ass and don't be wimpy, okay? It's a lot. You can do it in 2 years or you can do it in one course. We'll try to do it in one course, okay? Who knows where we'll be 6 months from now, you know? Okay? So try to be, you know, patient and don't worry. Don't think, oh, I'm not going to get home on time. Or forget it. You want to get enlightened, you're going to have to work a little bit, okay? Say, Tat Madhu. It has to be like with feeling, you know? What the hell are you talking about? Okay? Tat Madhu. Tat Madhu. Sometimes if you're really disgusted, you say, Tat. Okay? Say, Tat. Dak means dogma dupe, and I'm so disgusted, I don't even want to say the whole answer to you. Like, who could ever believe it? Dogma dupe means your reason is incorrect. Dak means reason. Madup means literally doesn't exist or is incorrect. Okay? Your reason is incorrect. That's answer number one. Answer number two. Say, Kyaba, Machun. Kyaba, Machun. Kyaba means for two things to be necessarily so. Literally, it means to cover. Okay? Machun means it isn't necessarily so. And I'll give you an example. You ready? Here's some real debates. Gotta think of one. This sky chuchen, okay? We're talking about a normal midday sky without clouds, okay? Sky chuchen. Consider the sky. Sun yute, it has a color. Why? Because it's blue, okay? Because it's blue, it has a blue color, okay? I'll repeat the statement. Consider the midday sky without clouds in a normal part of the world. This world, etc. Okay? It has a color because it has a blue color. Okay? And if you agree with the statement, if the guy, by the way, if the guy's been stupid enough to say something which is true, to start a fight, to pick a fight, all you do is sit there and repeat the verb. It does. Okay? And then he's just like, okay? Like if you say, yin bei qi, you would say, yin. If he says, yu bei qi, you say, yu. If he says, du bei qi, you say, du. You just repeat the verb. That's the easy one, okay? Answer number three, which is yes, just repeat his or her verb. It does. It doesn't. It will. It won't. Okay? Yin, yu, mayin, me. Okay? And that is to say, yes, I agree. Okay? Typical example, consider the sky, normal sky, okay, blah, blah, blah. It has a color because it has a blue color. And you would say, it has. Okay, yup, like it. Now, what if I say, consider the sky. It has a color because it's green with pink polka dots. Okay, then what would you say? Da ma dun. Okay, say da ma dun. Da ma dun. The thing you gave as a reason does not properly apply to the thing you gave as a subject. Pink polka dots in a green background does not correctly describe the sky. Da ma dum. Okay? Da ma dum. Okay? That's when you use a da ma dum. When his third part of his statement is wrong, say da ma dum. If the whole thing sounds right, repeat his verb. But what if he says, consider the sky. It's an existing thing because it's blue. Consider the sky. It's an existing thing because it's blue. Then you have to say, not necessarily. It's not necessarily true. There's lots of blue things. Well, wait a minute, I screwed it, sorry. That's not, I gave a bad one. Sorry, scratch that example. Consider the sky, it's green because it has a color. Okay? How about that one? Sorry. Okay? Consider the sky, it's green because it has a color. Okay? Is it true that the sky has a color? So you cannot say takmadu. You see, you can't say your reason doesn't apply to what you're talking about. Okay? You can't say that it has a color doesn't apply to the sky. So you have to say kabamachum. Say kabamachum. Hey, just because it has a color doesn't mean it's green. Okay? Not necessarily so. And that's all. Okay? And those are the three possible answers, really. Two of them mean no, one of them means yes. I'll give you the examples again. Consider the sky. It has a color because it's blue. And you just say, it does. It is. Okay. Oh, what was the second example? Consider the sky. It has a color because it's green. Ah, dogma dude. The sky's not green. Okay. It's green doesn't apply to the sky. With pink polka dots, okay? Then what's the third one? Consider the sky. It's green because it has a color. Okay? You can't say tamadu because it does have a color. So you have to say, but it doesn't necessarily follow that if something has a color, it's necessarily green. Okay? And that's the kaba machum. Say kaba machum. Okay, got the three examples? That's all. So, let's check. The sky has a color because it's red with yellow stripes. Give me the right Tibetan answer. Please. Say, by the way, ta means, you know, no ta means you should be ashamed of yourself. Okay. The sky, what did I say? Take the sky. What? It has a color because it's green. It's red with yellow stripes. Then you say? Takmadun. Okay? Have some. I almost used a bad word. You gotta be strong on the tamadu. Tamadu! Say tamadu. And you kind of stretch out the tak. And do not say tak, okay? First column, tak. Say takmadu. Takmadu. It's not true that the sky is yellow with red with yellow stripes. Okay? Your reason is bad. The thing you said in your reason does not apply to the sky. Tamadu! Okay? Consider the sky. It's a pretty pastel lavender in the middle of the day because it has a color. Kabamachu. You say Kabamachu. Come on. Kabamachu. Kabamachu. Come on, not necessarily so. Okay, it has a color. It doesn't mean it has to be a pink lavender, you know? Okay? Kabamachu. Those are the three possible answers. And you can live on those for years in the debate ground. Okay? You just say, Tamadu. Kabamachu. Yin? 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 I mean, that's a typical response. You spend hours doing that. Yin? Yup. Tamadu. Kabamachu. Yin? Du. Okay? And like that. And it's just like that. It's going like boom, 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 boom. Okay? So just learn those two answers. Okay? Tamadu. Say Tamadu. Kyapamachu. And if you're disgusted, Kyapamachu. Kyapamachu. Okay? And then the third one is just if you agree, just say, repeat the guy's word. Okay? Yin, it is. Okay? Like that. All right. I don't want to get you distracted from the main thing. Go home, think about cheese and chia dogs. Okay? It's the best thing I can think of. We'll do a short prayer. I'm sorry to keep you late.
Sāshī bhūti jūshīne tāshāṁ Vīrā vīnshī nyandē kyanpādī Sāṅgē shindu mithē uvāgī Jokū nāmbā shīmbā
This is the end of Class 3.
You have been listening to The Art of Reasoning with Geshe Michael Roach, presented by the Asian Classics Institute.
The Asian Classics Institute is dedicated to preserving the pure teachings and practice of Buddhism. For a listing of other topics available, write to The Asian Classics Institute, P.O. Box 20373, New York, New York, 10009, or call 212-475-7752.